The first families moved into Columbia, Maryland in July of 1967. Columbia was a new community midway between Baltimore and Washington, D.C., the brainchild of real estate developer James Rouse. He wanted to counter trends that he believed were making American cities unlivable, including segregation. So he invited people of all races to move to Columbia, and they did. By most accounts, integration has largely succeeded there. Some people, however, think as Columbia has grown, so has intolerance, as other priorities have taken precedence over crossing racial lines. Virginia Bigger reports.
When Gordon Livingston adopted his son Michael in 1969, Livingston was living in a Baltimore suburb called Homeland. One of Michael's biological parents was African American. Despite federal laws against housing discrimination, Livingston says Homeland's bylaws prohibited blacks from living there.
And we attempted to raise that question at a meeting of the Homeland Association and met with such outrage that we asked that it be put to a vote, since it was clearly an illegal covenant. And the community actually voted to leave that covenant in, even though it was inoperative. That kind of underlined the fact that we couldn't live in a place like that.
A year and a half later, Livingston and his family moved to Columbia.
What we found when we got here was a greater spirit of openness. Michael began to develop friends, as did we. We were both black and white. We were living in a place where, as an interracial family, we felt more comfortable than we would any place else around here.
Livingston gives credit for this to Columbia founder James Rouse. Rouse thought the sprawling development of cities in the 1950s and 60s was inhuman. In Columbia, he wanted to recreate what he called the soul-satisfying sense of community he experienced growing up in a small town. In a 1986 interview, Rouse, who died 2 years ago, said he also wanted Columbia to be diverse economically and racially.
We made it an absolute rule that no developer, no salesman, no leasing broker, no one could answer the question, what is the color of the person who's going to live next door? And we enforced that rigidly. We said, if you don't want to take your chance racially, don't come to Columbia.
Rouse built Columbia on some 14,000 acres of farmland. Today, it's made up of 9 villages. Each has local schools and stores, ranch-style houses in shades of brown and gray, lined streets ending in cul-de-sacs. Neighborhoods are connected by 78 miles of walking paths. Economically, Columbia's mostly middle class. Rouse called this one of his biggest disappointments, but he said building a lot of low-income housing wasn't cost-effective. However, Columbia does have a wide mix of people living side by side. In 1990, a quarter of the 76,000 people living there were African American or Asian, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Those groups made up 15% of the total U.S. population at that time.
Drew, would you like for me to read Around the Corner on Sesame Street?
Alicia Gamblin is spending a rainy morning at the library with her family. Gamblin is African American. She moved to Columbia with her parents when she was 4 years old.
I think it was a really good place to grow up, but I think that so much of Jim Rouse's vision has been lost because people, they just don't do that Columbia thing the way they used to.
That Columbia thing, Gamblin says, is an attitude of inclusion. Regardless of skin color or financial status, people interacted not only at school and work, but over dinner, at weddings, and on the tennis court.
Now it's gotten to the point where when I go to the park or if I go to a mom and tot class, I'm generally the only mom of color there. There is something about the other moms in the group. When you are in their presence, they talk above you, they look through you, look around you. They do everything they can to somehow indicate that you are not welcome to participate in the discussion. I think they see race as just a boundary that is so fixed that they're afraid to transcend it.
Gamblin believes this boundary has grown as the city has expanded. 85,000 people live in Columbia now. And Judy Major, who's white, agrees. She's a childbirth educator and has lived in Columbia since 1981. Major thinks these days most people move to Columbia because it's a comfortable place to live, not because of any social values.
It's close in proximity to Baltimore and Washington. Schools are great here. It's very diverse in terms of shopping. The businesses are growing here, and it's a pretty town. So there are a lot of things that attract people to this area. I don't think racial diversity is one of the main reasons.
But for a lot of early residents, it was the main reason, Major points out, and their commitment to maintaining that diverse community made Columbia unique. Major thinks they're up against a lot of people who don't seem to care.
My personal feeling is that people feel like there is no more race issue. I think to most people, they don't realize that the race issue is something that's got to be worked on day in and day out as any relationship with any person. And if we don't, people are just going to fall into this state of apathy. I don't see that dialogue right now. I don't see much around here that addresses that issue at all.
The effects of this change are subtle. The NAACP of Howard County, for example, reports no rise in discrimination complaints. Neighborhoods aren't becoming segregated. But Major and others say it's a familiar story. As Columbians socialize less across racial lines, they understand each other less, increasing the possibility for racial tension. The choir at St. John Baptist Church is preparing for its Sunday service. The Reverend Robert Turner leads the African American congregation. He says Columbia residents, regardless of race or ethnicity, have to get more active in the community.
We just need more people to come out of their house, connect with some other individuals through organizations so that we can work on some of the problems together. We need more African Americans to participate in the schools. We would want more African Americans to run for elected office, get involved in some of the community organizations. And so every Sunday I'm pushing to my congregation that there's more to being a church than coming within these four walls.
Secretary, Jerry. Oh no!
George Fambro is an avid handball player. He and his partners play four times a week here in Columbia Centennial Park. Fambro, who's black, says the group is a mix of people.
We have about three or four Jewish guys, Japanese guy, a new guy that wants to start playing Latino. It's been a group that's been going continuously since 1972 in one form or another.
I'll see you again Sunday and Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah, sounds good.
Fambro says he continues to meet new people on the handball court. If he lived in Baltimore or Washington, for example, he says most white people would be afraid to approach him and also afraid if he casually approached them.
In Columbia, I can go anywhere, and if I want to probably start a conversation with a person that I see on the street, in the park, it's not a situation where if you look at someone, they feel threatened necessarily. And I find that to be very relaxing and a very at-ease situation.
Fambro says that atmosphere is what still makes Columbia unique. And there is wide agreement, even from those who see discord, that because Columbia began differently, it remains a haven of sorts and is still leaning toward being the different kind of city James Rouse had in mind, a city committed to the idea of interracial community. For National Public Radio, I'm Virginia Bigger reporting.